I'm Kat Sheridan, director of the Ohio Arts Council's Rife Gallery. Today, we're going to have a look at the exhibition Shift, Thinking Globally, Acting Locally. This exhibition was curated by Maria Seda Reeder, and we have 11 artists from across the state.
So this exhibition began programming and planning stages in 2019. And then shortly thereafter, we switched into stay-at-home orders. And so most of the curating for this exhibition had to happen over screens. I think the artists' work that's in Shift are really finding new ways to think through how we can affect our personal, intimate purview in ways that have a ripple effect and can affect those outside of us as far as the global world and society. Art is what changes the world. I think art is the catalyst for us to reimagine ourselves in new ways. This is the work of Allison Crescetta. This is a more of an experience that will happen outside of gallery hours. Allison is a performer and an artist who was really wrestling with how to engage in her typical art practice. Clearly, performance typically requires an audience to be present. And so over the course of COVID, knowing that that possibility was in flux and potentially not going to happen, Allison was really able to kind of push through her normal practice and find a new way of engaging in a kind of performance. So she is a level 2 Reiki master. And so this is now an opportunity for visitors to Shift and the Rife Gallery to sign up for an experience with Allison to have a Reiki session, a distanced Reiki session over the internet. So the image that Allison chose and worked with is a connection to the chakral points on the body. In terms of what we're currently experiencing with the pandemic, this need to really prioritize the health, and that is always physical, but it's also rooted in the spiritual. The health of our human bodies is really dependent upon more than just the material plane. And so she chose this image. She actually took a photograph of a figure in space, wanted it to be ambiguous enough that others could identify and kind of put themselves into that space, but to also connect it with the more ephemeral spiritual work that she's doing through that Reiki distance session. This is the work of artist Lorena Molina. It's a multimedia installation of raspberry plants embedded within an actual bed mattress. It came out of a memory that she had with her family. She left her homeland of El Salvador when she was young because of the civil war that was happening in her country. And she had a memory of a time when her mom tried to cover her with a mattress in order to protect her from bullets, which obviously wouldn't have protected very much in terms of bullets. But the Civil War was raging, and she does a lot of work that considers home and what it means to be home, what it means to be safe, what it means to be free. The red clay that you see dusted around the mattress here symbolizes in her work a lot of times the burying of lives that happened in El Salvador during the Civil War. These reminders on either side here are those questions that she hears still in her head: are you safe, are you free? And it also implicates the viewer in that question. What does it take to be free? What does it take to feel safe? And how can we make home for ourselves in sites of violence and oppression the beauty of these raspberry plants, the fact that they've been cared on, the fact that every single day that they are in this gallery, they will be cared for and loved over, is a little bit about that kind of transformation that art can allow us to experience, to take and to compost that which doesn't, no longer serves us, and to reclaim it on behalf of growth and newness. These are the archival pigment prints of Amber J. Anderson, who is a Cleveland Heights-based artist. In the midst of the pandemic, there was so much about being home that was really important to a lot of these artists, thinking about the ways in which they could create a practice that supported their artistic evolution. These are photographs that she's created based on the models that she's made, and then made a little space, a kind of dimensional portrait of these homes as a way to consider the fact that all of us are sort of haunting our spaces, our human homes, our houses, but then the fact that that house can be purely imaginative, a space that's not real but based in fantasy. That was a coping mechanism for a lot of folks during this past year. This whole series is called Houses I Have Haunted. She really is reimagining herself in these Victorian spaces, playing with the idea of home as a kind of trope of art historical thinking. The work of Ha Zhang, a Cincinnati-based artist, multidisciplinary artist. This work is called Death, Growth, Repeat, and it is a meditation on the ways in which growth can be held in uncontrollable and unsustainable spaces. So these are terracotta grave markers upon which the artist has placed chia seeds, and they're being held in concrete basins, and then underneath or on top of which they seem to float on this kind of tile, bathroom tile. It's really rich with symbolism. The tile is a kind of nod to spaces of cleansing and repose. The heaviness of the concrete, the weight of the need to kind of care for oneself, and the ongoing sludge of that, you know, entropy that happens in one's everyday existence. So the chia seeds on the grave markers have a set life cycle. So they will only live for a certain amount of time. They need to be cared for on a daily basis. And there's a weight involved in that constant care and dedication to the plants. So ultimately they will have a demise. We will see this kind of fostered growth, care and consideration, and then the ending of that cycle. The ways in which art, I think, can be a lens through which we see this difficult truth is both beautiful and heavy to carry. This is an installation by artist Danielle Julian Norton. She's based in Columbus. I've worked with her several times before. And whereas she typically creates these kind of oversized contraptions that look like they would be Rube Goldberg machines if you started them going. This is a lot more of an intimate collection that she composes on the wall like a painting. In thinking through the past couple of years and Danielle's practice, the issue of how to really use absurdity and humor as a kind of leverage for
heavier issues.
A lot of these objects were actually reclaimed, found objects. She wanted them to have a handheld feel to them. So you might recognize some of the parts of an object. This, for instance, looks like it had an old edge of a baseball bat that may have been found. And a lot of the objects were collected on long walks with her daughter. So they were thinking about bigger themes in their lives, but finding that this kind of preciousness of materials and objects could speak to larger ideas that they were coming up against. So, you know, how do we prioritize a thing if they're so easily and readily thrown away, right? What is the value of an object if it's no longer useful or functional? So she's created this beautiful installation called Two Broken Arms and a Spider. You know, what is reusable? What is considered valuable? What is recyclable? A lot of Danielle's work really tries to prioritize environmental concerns. And so there's a sort of preciousness in terms of the way she treats these objects. This is the work of Cincinnati-based artist Terrence Hammonds, who I've worked with in the past, an incredible artist. And so it's two parts. One is the beat, It Will Always Save Us, which are these really gorgeous, tender portraits of Black joy that Terrence says is so big, it deserves its own orbit. And so we see these dancing couples sitting on the moon, and really just being able to kind of transcend the earthly bounds of our human existence. The reminder of this, you know, as above and so below, is the dance floor, which he's created. This is an older version of You Have to Get Up to Get Down, in which the artist provides viewers with a QR code for a musical playlist that reflects the kind of archive of the civil rights in America in 1960s and 70s. He really wanted to create an archive of his mom's life and her own experiences. So picking songs that were, you know, around when she was a young woman growing up, and to kind of represent the civil rights era struggles that were happening. The artist is looking for a way for viewers to acknowledge the past while imagining new horizons, better horizons. And so that dance floor is a kind of visual archive turned monumental portrait of his mom and her own experience, but the larger experience of folks in the United States. This is the work of Cleveland-based artist Lauren Davies, whose photographs she deconstructs and reconstructs. Photographs of sites in which the artist is seeking to remind us about who is being cared for, who is being reformed. So there's industrial sites, old derelict industrial sites from around the Rust Belt region. And what the artist is doing is she's taking photographs, sending them off to places like Walmart, where you can get these hand-woven textiles that are machine created in order to make these images. And then she brings them into her studio, she pulls them apart, she cuts them up. She's kind of retelling this tales, these stories of these places in new ways. And there's an implication of the viewer in that destruction. So we see these kind of frayed edges, torn and burnt away spots of locations in which the ostensible agenda was to help or to make something better, something new. and the maybe the material reality contradicts those kinds of agendas. These are photographs created by Akron-based photographer Autumn Bland. They're a series that she began in March of 2020, which she managed to photograph 750 plus people. These portraits of the pandemic really speak to the different kinds of experiences that all of us had. There were so many photographs to get to choose from. Being able to really pull out some of the folks who I think were doing some of the heavy lifting, whether it was just staying at home and choosing not to place others' lives at risk, or the folks who were, because of their jobs or because of their commitment to any sort of labor, were really finding safe ways of continuing their work. So there's everyone from folks who were, making sure that people could go out and vote safely, who are registered to vote, folks who were needing to be tested on the, for COVID, or were just, on those front lines day in and day out. But then there's also the systems that need constant care as well. So we see some really what I think are beautiful portraits of different people from around the Akron area who were doing the kind of heavy lifting throughout this past year that needed to be done. And Autumn was one of them, really, being able to see her work as a photographer as part of that essential work that was happening was probably not an easy choice to make. And yet she was able to do so safely and distanced and has continued this body of work. These are the works of Hamilton, Ohio-based artist Tracy Featherstone, who I've worked with multiple times in the past, and just has such a creative way of using materials. So she uses discarded, often considered detritus of, other work. So the kind of residue of other things that are created are often repurposed and reimagined through her own creative practice. She had a moment when she was on vacation and she was snorkeling in corals and was so impressed by this experience of this, the beauty, the kind of majestic beauty that she was seeing, but then having the question in her head that just her mere presence there was probably not good for the coral. There is a lot of self-implication, I think, that artists who are critical thinkers can do, and she has worked through her own practice. She's currently head of the printmaking department at Miami University in Miami, Oxford, and has found a way through using environmentally sustainable inks throughout that printmaking lab, which is not an easy task. And she has, for these pieces, repurposed old jeans and old canvases from past works, kind of given them the care and love and attention to remake them into a new kind of object. And then the 2D pieces that you see on the ends came out of another project that she was doing in which she had to spray paint other works. And these were the background papers that were used to kind of protect the surface of her table. And so in doing so, she realized the kind of beauty that was inherent within these objects and reinterpreted them. If one was to compose a painting out of this, what would it look like? And so she's reimagined what can be art through the use of thrown away objects. This is a room installation by M. Carmen Lane, a two-spirit African American Mohawk and Tuscarora artist entitled Compound Effigy for Makia Bryant. And it is a reference to the Edina Mounds from the local tribes around Columbus. It's a site specific to Columbus. Carmen is a Cleveland-based artist. And so they came to the Edina Mound and recorded a close-up imagery, and then created this multimedia installation in the Rife Gallery as a site of meditation. Their work with Tonsic, which is a center for healing and urban retreat in Cleveland, does similar things in that it's using location and site specificity as a way to kind of reimagine and pay homage to lives that have been lost and works that were done in a location, in a space. The Shrum Burial Mound, which Carmen came down and recorded over the course of 2020, is what one will see in the installation. And they've really tried to create a kind of sacred space and portal for reimagining the ways in which locations can either heal or be sites of ongoing oppression. So they're really encouraging a kind of shift from colonial gaze and reimagining what if centering African American and indigenous folks' experience had been, what this place could be, what these kinds of locations might serve to remind us. This is the work of printmaker and visual artist Kevin Harris, who's out of Dayton, Ohio. He is what I like to consider a kind of visual remixer. He takes either found imagery or is creating his own. He's showing us these childlike characters who are also weaponized. He is asking us to consider how we allow certain people to be kids or longer, to have longer lives as children versus other children. And so he's using this very recognizable iconography of a cherub who we associate with love, but who also was weaponized, right? The cherub would have had the bow and arrow. And so does that make them a threat? Does that mean that they are not a child? So he takes imagery from popular culture, from photographs that he takes on the street, and kind of visually remixes them for a new way of seeing. The pigment prints, Hive, are seen and scattered throughout the gallery to remind us that there is a constant need to be considerate about who is being centered, who is being considered a threat. The bees act as a kind of pollinator, which we need as a, you know, human species in order to survive. They, you know, pollinate all of our plants. We would die without them. Yet people tend to have a really visceral reaction to bees, right? They're scary. They have stingers. They could hurt us. They could kill us if we are allergic to them. So the pollinator series, which are, you know, throughout the exhibition, are really a way to get viewers to remind ourselves that that is a constant daily experience for a lot of folks in this world, that they might be seen as a threat, yet we need everyone to be here. We need all parties present to show up to the table. A lot of this show feels like a way to kind of build consensus, to find a way through all the difficulties that we've been experiencing as small communities, larger states, and who are all part of a nation that's really going through a lot. That's part of a continent, a globe, that's going through a lot right now. We have crises that are not just affecting us as individuals, but as global participants. And I think that Kevin is really kind of culling from different sources, art historical, you know, photographs that he takes of the street, and really trying to remix a new language to get us to find new ways through. I also wanted to thank the Ohio Arts Council and Kat Sheridan, the director of the Rife Gallery. To have this platform to be able to show their work is a tremendous gift to this community.
Thank you again for joining us. I'd like to give a special thank you to the Ohio Arts Council's board, the governor, and the Ohio legislature who support the Ohio Arts Council and this great space.